On behalf of the pastoral staff and our elders here at Trinity Bible Fellowship Church, let me be one of the first to say Merry Christmas to each of you. It is such a delight to worship and to remember the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with each of you and your families. We welcome you tonight. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. It has already been just such a beautiful night already, hasn't it been? Christmas Eve services, without question, are one of my favorite traditions that we have here at Trinity. Thank you to each and every person who's had a part in tonight's service. Your gifts of song and readings and prayers, John and Israel, thank you for leading us in worship. What a blessing. There's no place like Trinity, in my opinion, at Christmas time. Both the church itself and the church itself, the people of God, look so beautiful and are so perfectly adorned tonight. So it's just such a blessing to be together. And most importantly, without question, the last 45 minutes or so has been filled with hearing the story of the birth of God's Son. There's nothing more important that we can do at this time of year than just hear the very word of God remind us of God wrapped in flesh. And the music tonight has been truly, truly special. Speaking of which, have you ever really, and I mean really, listened to the message behind the music that we sing at Christmas? In my experience, if you were to click on someone's Spotify, and if you don't know what a Spotify is, ask a young person sitting next to you, their playlist around this time of year, you're likely in for a bit of mental or emotional whiplash. That is, without warning or any explanation whatsoever, you'll possibly jump back and forth between Rocking Around the Christmas Tree to Silent Night, from Blue Christmas to Joy to the World, from Dominic the Christmas Donkey to Lo, How a Rose E'er Blooming. I don't want to even know what's on some of your Spotify playlists. Christmas in our culture is a mishmash of distinctly Christian content on the one hand and secular commercialized traditions on the other. And I, for one, am mostly fine with that. But I do wonder if anyone else has noticed the huge difference between the old classic Christmas carols, some of which we've sung even tonight, and the more recent popular songs that are sung at Christmas. The old songs often refer to Christmas under death's shadow, while new songs rarely do. Think of even some of the words that we've sung tonight. Think of the words of many of the carols that speak of death in the Christmas songs. O come, Emmanuel, has this line in it. From depths of hell thy people save and give them victory o'er the grave. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night and death's dark shadows put to flight. It's pretty dark. Or what of Hark the Herald Angels Sing? We've sung that this evening. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die. Good Christian men rejoice. We'll come back to this one in just a little bit as well. Now ye need not fear the grave. Peace, peace. Jesus Christ was born to save. You may not recognize it, but you're singing about death at Christmas, even when we remember the birth of God's Son. And Lo, How a Rose E'er Blooming, that's a really, really rich Christmas carol. It has this line in it, this flower whose fragrance tender with sweetness fills the air, dispels the glorious splendor, the darkness everywhere. True man, yet very God, from sin and death he saves us and lightens every load. To celebrate Christmas, the old sages and writers emphasize something that we moderns minimize or try to squash, and that is the bleak reality of death. For them, you simply can't consider Christmas without the cross or the infant in a manger without the empty grave. Yes, the cradle brings the crucifixion. Again, today we try in vain to gloss over any thought of the grave with lots and lots of glitter and lots of golden lights strung around our homes and songs about wanting a hippopotamus for Christmas. What's that all about? You know, the fact that Christmas comes right at the very end of our year, basically at the darkest possible moment in our calendar, why does it have to get dark at 4:30? I do not know. That actually should be highly instructive for us. That is, the birth of God's Son, Jesus Christ, was necessary because of the spiritual and physical death of those he came to save. The 4th century church father, Athanasius of Alexandria, wrote in his classic work called On the Incarnation, meaning taking on flesh, that, quote, Jesus Christ has come into our country and dwelt in one body in order that the designs of the enemy, Satan, against mankind have been foiled, and the corruption of death, which formerly held them in its power, has simply ceased to be. He concludes, for the human race would have perished utterly had not the Lord and Savior of all, the Son of God, come among us to put an end to death. Friend, we love to celebrate birthdays, but we need to consider our own death. In fact, one modern meme captures my point tonight very perfectly. It's this right here. This is the season, and this is the reason. Just in one picture, that says a lot. The writer John, the apostle, would put it this way in his first epistle, that the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus came for a fight, and he won gloriously. So we've considered death in our Christmas songs. Now let's rejoice in Jesus' victory, for that is truly why we have occasion to sing tonight. More than 700 years ago, in the middle of the 14th century, a German monk by the name of Henry Sousa penned the words to one of the oldest, most enduring Christmas carols in existence. This was before Chris Columbus discovered America. This was before King James, not the NBA player, ordered the writing of the Bible translation that bears his name. No one knew what a germ was at this time, and Bill Shakespeare wouldn't come onto the stage of history for another 200 years. During the 14th century, the world was finally coming to the dusk of the Dark Ages. Nations were in an upheaval. France and England were in the midst of the Hundred Years' War, and the Black Death, otherwise known as the bubonic plague, was sweeping across Europe, leaving 20 million people perished, or a third of the population. And yet, in the very midst of death and darkness, Henry Sousa wrote a poem reminding his fellow Christians that this is still an occasion to rejoice. It is the song that we sing at Christmas, Good Christian Men Rejoice. The first stanza, Good Christian Men Rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Give ye heed to what I say, news, news. Jesus Christ is born today. Ox and ass before him bow, and he is in the manger now. Christ is born today. Christ is born today. You need to hear there's news tonight. That yes, Jesus, the anointed one, the Messiah, the Christ, has come. We can rejoice because Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5 are true, that when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Or as C.S. Lewis has put it, the Son of God became a man to enable men to become sons of God. J.I. Packer said that the Christmas message is that there is hope for a ruined humanity. Hope for pardon, hope for peace, and hope for everlasting glory. And that is so true. Verse 2 of that same song by Sousa says, good Christian men rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Now ye hear of endless bliss, joy, joy. Jesus Christ was born for this. He has opened heaven's door, and man is blessed forevermore. Christ was born for this. Christ was born for this. Yes, he was born ultimately to die. But his death means that we might ultimately live. That is the gospel. We can rejoice tonight, and rejoice we will, because Hebrews 2, 14 and 15 are true. The writer of Hebrews says, for as much then as the children share in flesh and blood, he, Jesus, also took on the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. Again, reflecting upon Christ's first coming helps us remember and rejoice in Jesus's devil-destroying work of salvation that we trust and pray you have believed in. The third and final verse of Good Christian Men Rejoice says this, good Christian men rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Now ye need not fear the grave. Peace, peace. Jesus Christ was born to save, calls you one and calls you all to gain his everlasting hall. Christ was born to save. Yes, Christ was born to save. News, joy, and peace. An old evangelist by the name of R.A. Torrey once said, there is more joy in Jesus in 24 hours than there is in the world in 365 days. I know because I've tried them both, he said. Many of us have as well, and we can testify that that is absolutely true. You can try to soak in all the joy this world has to offer, and it doesn't even compare to the joy that's found in Christ alone. The best old Christmas carols do us a real favor by sobering us up and marking out clearly the dark path of man's problem with God with the bright light of God's love for us in Christ. The light of Christ shines the brightest where the dark death casts its long shadow. This is what Isaiah said in Isaiah 9, verse 2, that people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shone. In other words, tonight, dear friend, many of you can rejoice because your joy is in Jesus Christ. Jesus himself is God's greatest gift for all of us. The Savior who came as a baby born in a manger lived a life without sin. Yet he died on a cross for our sins. He rose again so that we can have a relationship with him. For he is life. He is in heaven now. Therefore, our hope for heaven is in trusting him. He has defeated death. Therefore, we have no fear of death. He loves you. And he lives within your heart today. If you are joined to him by faith, you can, and indeed you must, rejoice. So good Christian friends, rejoice this Christmas. And listen, if you're here tonight and you have not made friends with God in Christ, what's stopping you? One of the books we've heard from tonight a lot is the Gospel of John. John writes in the first chapter, in him, that is of Jesus, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming in the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Why would you not receive this greatest of all gifts? Someone said, here is the Christmas story in a nutshell. God left his place to come to our place, and then he took our place so that we would be welcomed at his place. That's a good summation of the Christmas story. Friend, don't reject God's precious gift of Jesus Christ. Receive him and rejoice. Would you bow with me as we pray? Almighty God and Father, we are truly so overwhelmed at your kindness and your love for us in Jesus. Father, thank you for the message of the Messiah, the message of Jesus Christ that we have sung about and we have read about tonight in these gospel passages and in the epistles, Lord, even in the very last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. But Father, all of this is not about dressing up. It's not about giving gifts. It's not about stringing lights. It's about adoring your Son. It's about hearing that you have loved this world, and the proof of your love is the sacrifice of your Son. So, Father, tonight I pray that each of us here, if this is our first or 50th Christmas Eve service, it does not matter, that tonight our hearts would be your home. That, Lord, we would allow, by submitting, by yielding to you, we would allow you, Lord, welcome you to come and take over our lives, because when you are the leader of our life, Lord, everything is better. Father, we pray that you would just get all the glory from tonight. We thank you for Jesus. He is the author and the perfecter of our faith. He was born. He lived a sinless life. He died in our stead. He rose on the third day from the grave. He ascended to the Father's right hand. He right now prays for us, and he will keep his promise to come back for us. So, Father, we worship you. Son, we worship you. Spirit, we worship you, for you alone are worthy of our worship. Thank you for this special time of remembrance tonight, as we pray together in Jesus' name. Amen.